Man, the music didn't get you going this morning. Something's wrong with you. And so, very, very good. And really, really enjoyed it this morning. It's good to have visitors with us this morning, but especially we have a couple of missionaries with us this morning. It's good to have Brother Rackley with us. And sorry to hear his wife's not feeling well. And a missionary to Madagascar, he brought some animals with him. He's ready to go tonight. I don't know if they'll be cartoon characters or not, but anyway. We look forward to Brother Rackley's report tonight, as we've supported him for the last 3 or 4 years. We look forward to him being with us tonight. And it's good to have the Anderson family with us this morning, missionaries to India. And it's good to have them with us, and we're certainly praying for them. And it's good to have Brother Kirby and some of his compadres. Is that? No. Some of his group. He's the head of the Master's Club ministry out of Ohio, and was there at the regional competition yesterday with all of our kids. I'm sorry. No, I'm just kidding. I understand we won like 39 ribbons, awards, and something like that. And I mean, we're pretty well cleaned up, right? Because that's what it's about. It's about whether or not about whether you win or not. It's not how you play the game. Amen. No, I heard it went really good, and appreciate all our adults who spent from 6 o'clock yesterday morning until 9:30, 10 o'clock last night with is it 3rd through 6th grade, something like that. I just want to thank you so much. And I know my boy enjoyed it very, very much, and he enjoyed beating everybody. That was it. All right. My boy's fast. So anyway. May not be nothing else, but he's fast. No, it's good. All right. Well, it's good to have, again, all these families with us this morning. And like always, it's good to have visitors with us, and so many of you, and appreciate you being here. If you would, in your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. Amen. Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, and we'll get into the Scripture this morning. And I really want to spend a little background on this particular verse and this group of verses to get you into the context of which this passage is being given to us by Mark. But we'll read the Scriptures first, and then we'll come in and get a little background. Mark chapter 14, look with me in verse 18. Mark chapter 14, verse 18. I've preached this passage before, and I want to bring it back out again today. And so look at Mark chapter 4, verse 18. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me." And they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, "Is it I?" And another said, "Is it I?" And he answered and said unto them, "It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. And the Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born." I always think of Elijah saying to himself, "I wish I'd never been born." But here the Bible says, this man, better off he had never been born. Speaking of Judas Iscariot, right? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the good music this morning that has prepared our hearts. I pray the message this morning would ring forth just very clear, that each of us would see ourselves in light of the Scripture, and would apply what we learn. We ask this in your name. Amen. Ever been in a crowd and somebody kind of looked over your way and maybe even pointed at you and began to try to say something to you? Or at least you thought they were pointing at you. And all of a sudden you find out, no, they're pointing at the guy behind you. You kind of feel ridiculous, you know. I think about these apostles as they're sitting around here in the upper room. This is the Last Supper. Jesus is about to be betrayed in the garden there, and he begins to say to them, "Someone's going to betray me." And then he even clarifies and said, "It's going to be one of the 12." And then they begin to ask the question, "Is it I? Is it I? Is it I?" Get the picture here now. He had told Peter and John to go into Jerusalem, prepare for the Passover meal. John and Peter go into the town, and they find the upper room. They find a man there that God told them that Jesus told them that would be there. They go into the upper room. They prepare the room. The disciples arrive. They all begin to lay around this table. Again, most of you know, in that day, you didn't sit at a table like we do, you know, in a chair and eat. We're going to do that here in a little while, right? But they kind of laid around, you know, one laying on each other's sides and laying around the table there. And this is a pretty good, you know, we're talking about 12 grown men here, a few servants and other people. And so they're all laying around this table that has been prepared for them for this supper. The Bible tells us in the other three accounts, so if we're not going to take time to do that this morning, but in Matthew, Luke, and in John, all give the account of the Last Supper, of this upper room experience. And so, and each one of those gives us more insight as to what was said in the upper room. Each one of us, again, we know that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were all written to portray Jesus in a certain light, to picture Him in a certain light. Matthew wrote Him, pictured Him, and gave us insight as to Jesus Christ being King. Matthew, Mark as a servant, Luke as man, and then John as the God of all creation. And so each one of these give us, each gospel harmonizes together. Each gospel gives us further insight as to what's going on. So they're all laying around the upper room. There's talk going on. A lot of the talk is about whether or not who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And I could just see Peter laying around saying, it's going to be me. Why? Because I'm Peter. You know, I'm bigger than all you guys. It's just the way it is. And there was other talk. I mean, John and others sitting around. Apparently, John was leaning on, the Bible tells us, was leaning on Jesus' chest, leaning beside him. And Peter must have been pretty close there. And Judas Iscariot was a part of this crowd, leaning and eating together. And so as time went on in this evening meal, the Bible says they began to argue as to who was going to be the greatest. The disciples have walked 3 years with him. And yet they're still arguing who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. I really believe to the very, very point of Jesus' crucifixion and death, and maybe even up to his resurrection, many of his disciples still thought Jesus was going to set up a kingdom on earth. They just really believed that. That's what they were hoping for. They were hoping that he would trample the Roman government, that he would lay down the Roman government, the Jews would be back on top, and so forth. So they were arguing about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And then once Jesus said that he was going to be betrayed, they began to argue about and to talk about who was going to betray him. Who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Well, as they're discussing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom, apparently Jesus stands up. He gets a water pot and a rag, and he begins to wash the disciples' feet. Remember the story? And he's up in that upper room. He's washing the disciples' feet. This is Christ, Jesus the Lord, the creator of all the earth, washing feet. I've told you before, feet are not my thing. I don't like feet. My feet are gnarly. I don't want to see anybody else's feet that are gnarly. You know, kind of this. And I don't know, as you get older, your toenails are not as crisp and clear as they used to be. Come on, guys. You know it's true. You know, I just about have to have a grinder to do mine, you know. Go out in the shop and get the grinder out. So that's telling y'all too much, ain't I? Only telling the truth, you know it. Younger guys can look forward to it. That and turning into a monkey. But Jesus Christ, the Lord of all creation, gets up from his place there at the table and begins to wash the disciples' feet. He washes one of the feet and washes another. He comes to Peter. What does Peter say? You're not washing my feet. Jesus said to him, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. And Peter says to him, don't just wash my feet, wash my whole body, you know. But he began to wash his disciples' feet, and he sat back down, and he said to them, and I'm going to paraphrase now, he's basically saying to them, you guys arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. The first shall be last. The last shall be first. The greatest is the least. And he, you know, again, he'd already taught them that once before, but you call me Master and Lord, but I'm your servant. And you guys should be servants to each other. And you guys should be servants to the world. And he breaks it down for them. So I think he cures that argument, doesn't he? I mean, Jesus is willing to wash the disciples' feet. You should be willing to do anything. Amen. Do anything for the Lord. Amen. Serve him in any way possible. Amen. Secondly, the argument about who is going to betray him. Apparently, the discussion continues on, and Peter must have been sitting close to John. And John, the Bible says, is the apostle whom Jesus loved. Sometimes you'll see him referred to as the apostle whom Jesus loved. And apparently Peter whispers over to John, ask him who it is. Ask him who it is. You can go read it. Peter tells John, hey, ask him, who's going to betray you? Who is it? Again, they're all saying, is it me, Lord? Is it me, Lord? But Peter pushes the issue. Peter's always pushy. We can all identify with Peter, can't we? Peter says, John, ask him who it is. And you know, the Lord loves you the best. No, I'm just kidding. Ask him who it is. And Jesus finally, and you got to get the picture here. Now, there's a lot of discussion going on. The room is filled with noise. And I really believe when Jesus said to them, the one whom I put the sop of bread in, the one that dips with me is the one who it is. And Judas Iscariot dips in the cup with him, identifying that he was the one who would betray him. But nobody really understood it because the Bible says that the rest of the disciples thought within themselves, well, Judas is leaving because he is going to buy something or do something for the Lord. They didn't really grasp what had just happened. But Jesus did answer him. They may not have grasped it, but he did answer. He answered about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom, but he also answered about who is it. And it was Judas Iscariot who would betray him. In fact, before this, Judas Iscariot, when he was asking, is it me? Is it I, Lord? It was already in his heart to do it. What a hypocrite. He knew it was him. He knew it was him. Lord, is it I? Jesus Christ, is it I? Who's going to betray me, Lord? Who's going to betray me? Who's going to betray you, Lord? It's Judas Iscariot. I believe each of us this morning to ask the question, is it me? Is it I? Very simple this morning. Is it I in regards to salvation? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Has there been a time in your life when you come to the place and you've said, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. The Bible says, as it's written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is there a time in your life when you could look back and you could say, yes, at the age of 6 years old, as it was for me, that I saw myself as a guilty sinner, that I saw Jesus Christ there on Calvary who died for me, and I put my faith and my trust in Him as my only means of salvation. I didn't put my faith and trust in the baptistry. I didn't put my faith and trust in the Baptist church or the Catholic church or any other church. I put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Has there been a time in your life? Is it you? Is it me? Is it I? Is there a need in your life in the way of salvation? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? I could just imagine that his disciples were asking the question, is it I? Is it I? And it comes to Judas. Judas, who's going to betray him. It was already in his heart to betray him. And yet he asked the question, is it I? Maybe there's some in this room who know they're not saved. Who know it? You know that you're not saved. And yet you haven't made that decision as of yet. I pray this morning you'd make the decision. There's only one way to heaven. Jesus said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus made it very clear that he was the only way. He was not the best way. He wasn't part of the way. He was the only way. Amen. Emphatically, the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. In regards to salvation, have you made that decision? Have you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Unlike Judas Iscariot, who went out and betrayed Jesus and rebelled against him, will you not come to him now? Will you not come? Judas Iscariot, up to the very point of Jesus Christ's death, could have come back and accepted Christ as Savior. You believe that about Judas? Yes, I believe that. Jesus is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I was telling someone yesterday, you know, Paul was a murderer, and God forgave him, and Jesus forgave him and gave him everlasting life. Amen. And Paul wrote over half the New Testament that you hold in your lap there. If Jesus Christ would forgive Paul, he'll forgive anybody. You say, well, you know, I'm a good person. I live right. I try to do right. I'm trying to be a good mom. I try to be a good dad. I live a moral life. Well, living a moral life doesn't get you to heaven. Being a good person doesn't get you to heaven. In fact, Paul says that if you could be a good person and that gets you to heaven, then Christ died in vain. See, all of us have sinned. All of us are selfish by nature. All of us are sinful in our disposition. And therefore, we need a Savior. And I hope again this morning that you have accepted Christ as your Savior. Very simply this morning, is it I? Is it I? Are you in need of salvation this morning? Is it I? As I think about those who were laying around the table that day with Jesus Christ. I think about the various apostles that were there. Think about John, who was laying there on Jesus' chest, who was as close to Christ as anybody. Everybody get it? As close to Christ as anybody. But even he asked the question. Think about that for a moment. John the apostle, who was laying on Jesus' chest. John the apostle, part of that inner circle. Peter, James, and John, part of that inner circle. The one who had seen Jesus glorified there on the mount, and so forth and so on. John, whom the Bible says Jesus loved. John asked the same question as the rest of them. When Jesus said, "One will betray me," John said, "Is it I?" That just really confounds me. Doesn't it you? Some of you who study your Bible, does it not confound you to think that John would ask the question? I wonder why John would ask that question. I really think each of us should be careful that we maybe in our relationship with Jesus Christ, we think we have arrived. That we think, well, we're not like the others, that, well, that happened to him, or, yeah, she fell morally, or he fell morally, but that'll never happen to me. Right? We get complacent maybe in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we think, well, yeah, you know, that bad thing or this thing happened to them, but I would never do that. You know, very, very proudly may say, well, me and my wife would never get a divorce. And maybe look down on others who have. That would never happen to me. John asked the question. John the apostle asked the question, is it I? Is it I? It confounds me. He's sitting right next to Jesus and he says, is it me, Lord? Am I the one that's going to betray you? Am I the one that's going to sell you out? Listen, this morning, we be very careful as Christians that we don't become self-righteous in our Christianity. All of us can come to that place. We need to be very careful. And each of us need to ask the question, is it me? Is it I? Am I all right? Am I all right? Am I all right? If things between me and my Savior, are we okay? I think we ought to check our personal relationships very often. And relationship with your spouse, you ought to check that out very often. Is me and my spouse, is our relationship okay? Is our relationship all right? Well, how's your relationship with you and the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Is your relationship with the Lord where it should be? Is your relationship with the Lord, is it right? Is it right? Is it where it needs to be? Apparently, John didn't think so. I'm just to steal. I may just preach the whole sermon and keep repeating the question. It just confounds me. This is John. Amen. He was not self-righteous. Again, so many times we become judgmental and criticize others that we in turn think we're okay. And we need to be careful that, again, that we don't come to the place in our life where we become complacent, that we become satisfied with our spiritual condition. A.W. Tozer said this. He said, they pray little, rarely attend prayer meeting, but they read their Bible. Oh, they read their Bible, but they don't apply it. That's what he's saying. I say this a lot. I read it in the book. I don't remember where. But our education far outseeds our application. Our Bible education, what we know about the Bible and its teachings, far surpasses our application of the Bible. I've told you this illustration before. There was a man who came to D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody had preached over in England several times and just had had a great revival that took place there in the late 1800s. And D.L. Moody shook two continents for Jesus Christ. I mean, he shook all of Europe and all of America. What great revivals took place. The Bible. His biography, he talks about meeting a young evangelist over in England somewhere, over in one of the European countries. And he told this young snot-nosed evangelist, he said, hey, when you come over to America, look me up. I'll let you preach. Now, again, D.L. Moody pastors the Moody Church. I mean, this is a huge church. And sure enough, a few years later, this young man shows up at his doorstep. He said, D.L. Moody, you remember me? And I could just see D.L. Moody go, oh, no. I told this guy he could preach. And his biography talks about he followed through. He let the man preach. Man preached John 3:16 Sunday morning. He invited him. It was so good, he invited him back that night to preach. He preached John 3:16 again. It was so good, he invited him to preach a week-long meeting, and every night this man preached on John 3:16. And the point was, why should we move on from this verse when you haven't got this one yet?
That's right.
Why should we move to the next verse when you haven't got this one yet? Listen, we many times become complacent in our Christian life. We feel like that we're all right. And I'm telling you, John didn't feel like he was all right. And he was laying on Christ's chest. Well, let us be careful as Christians. Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Is it me? The children of Israel became complacent in the wilderness. The Bible says they were asked, will you not go into the land? I mean, are you just going to wander around the wilderness for 40 years? Are you not going to go into that place of rest? I have in my office three or four different messages I'm working on, and one of them is Hebrews, where it talks about that land of rest. And that's not necessarily talking about the promised land in the Old Testament, but it's an illustration of it. And there is a place a Christian can get to where you will have rest, joy, peace, and all those things. And each of us experience it from time to time. Amen? I've experienced it in my life. It's not a continual thing. I wished it was, but many times in my own life, I allow myself to lose fellowship with the Lord. I lose some of that joy and that peace. But that is what I'm seeking. It's what I'm seeking. Is it I? Lord, is it I? Are you complacent in your Christian walk? Are you complacent in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, well, the question's not right, preacher. The question isn't, is it I? It's, if my husband would do this, then I would... That's never going to happen. Well, if the deacon, if the pastor's wife, always blame it on the pastor's wife. Well, if my family, you don't understand, pastor, what she or he said. We can all get our feelings hurt from time to time, but that's not the right question. Pastor, they have everything and I have nothing. Well, if my pastor would just, if God would just do, well, if the Lord, and you can go on with various other things and various other excuses, but that's not it. It's not. It's no. No, no, no. It's not about my next door neighbor. It's not about the deacon or the trustee. It's not about even the pastor or the pastor's wife. Or not about your spouse. It's not about this message this morning is not about looking at the person next to you and saying, man, it must be you he's talking to. Isn't that me? No, it's, is it me? Is it me? Is it me? Remember the old song? It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my mama, not my brother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me. I'm the one that needs prayer. If John, the apostle, needed to ask the question, is it I? Then all of us need to ask the question, is it me? All of us need to ask the question, is it me, Lord? Is it I? Am I the one that's going to betray you? Am I the one that's going to fall next? Am I the one that's going to become complacent or self-righteous or whatever the case is? Lord, it's not about my wife. This between you, her and the Lord. Lord, it's me. Am I where I need to be? Do you need to get saved this morning? Won't you, here in just a minute, we're going to sing a song and we're all going to stand up and sing and you can walk down the aisle and someone here at the front will show you from the Bible how you can have eternal life. Maybe you're in need of salvation this morning, but maybe this morning, as a Christian, you just need to draw closer to God. Of all the disciples who were least likely to ask the question, I believe it was John. By the way, the closer you are to Jesus, the least likely you are to betray Him. The closer you are to Jesus Christ, the closer your fellowship is with the Lord, the least likely you are to become self-righteous. The least likely you are to become complacent in your Christian life. The disciple whom Jesus loved needed to ask the question. We all need to ask the question. You say, well, preacher, he was asking whether who would betray him. By the way, every time we sin, we betray him. Think about it for a moment. Think about it for a moment. When your children disobey you, how do you feel? Now, I'm not talking about when they make a mistake and they foul up and, do childish things. I'm talking about when they out and out do something totally contrary to what you've told them to do, and you catch them at it. Now, the teenagers over here may get caught from time to time doing something wrong, and they may feel bad about it. But I want you to know that your parents also feel very bad about it. That it affects us, doesn't it, parents? How do you feel when your child rebels against you? Now, I'm not talking about that he spills the milk, at the table. That's an accident. Right? Or they do something that, you can honestly say they didn't know, they messed up, but they didn't do it out of spite or just out and out rebel against you. But how many of us as Christians have done something totally contrary to the Word of God, knowing out and out that it was contrary to the Word of God? How did that make the Lord feel? We just had this discussion about, does the Lord have feelings? We had this the other day. Yes, He does. We were created in His image. In the Old Testament, look at all the places where He got angry, where He got mad, where He got jealous. I mean, you can go throughout the Old Testament where He was glad, where He was happy, where He was joyful. Yes, the Lord feels. And when we do contrary, when we do things contrary to the Word of God, He feels that. It saddens Him. It's rebellion against Him. Is it me? Lord, is it I? Every time we betray the Lord and not follow His Word, we should sorrow over that. We should see sin, the Bible says, it's exceedingly sinful. When's the last time in your own life that you knelt to pray and you felt sorrow over the sin that you had done? Our sorrow over the sins that you have committed. That's what we're talking about. Is it I? Am I the one that's not right where I should be with the Lord? What is keeping me from having that right relationship with the Lord? Is it me? Again, so many times we get satisfied in our Christian life. We should never get satisfied or complacent. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on what? Higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. The highest plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I don't want to stay here. I want to keep pressing on. I want to keep going forward. As we're teaching in Philippians on Sunday night, I want to keep going forward. I want to keep pressing toward the mark. I don't want to become complacent. I don't want to become self-righteous. The Bible says, be careful lest you fall. We need to be careful. Oh, that we love Jesus more. Oh, that I'd serve Him better. Oh, that I was nearer to Him. Draw me nearer, 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 precious Lord, to Thy precious side. I want to draw closer to the Lord. By the way, He doesn't move. He never changes. He's always the same. He doesn't move, we move. But He's still waiting there for you. Is it I? Is it I? How close are you to Him? How close are you to the Lord this morning? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Christian, have you asked the question lately, is it I? We can fuss a lot about somebody else and their need to get help. We can fuss about our spouse and their need. But what about your need this morning? Is it you? Is it me? Is it I?